Good morning. If you'd like to open your Bibles this morning, we'll be in the book of Psalms primarily. I announced this lesson several weeks ago at the invitation as we were discussing owning our sin with David, King David. And in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will. That's what I like to talk about this morning. Usually I stay away from lessons that have 10 points. But for Kevin, I'm going to give you 10 points this morning. This would be a good outline for a whole series, and we're not going to get in a whole lot of deep depth, obviously, because of time on each characteristic of David. Each characteristic could be its own lesson. Each characteristic by itself is a powerful thing. We just add a few more things, add an introduction for an introduction and a closing. You have a whole quarter series. First point I'd like for you to look at this morning is, again, in Psalms chapter 62 and verse 9. First characteristic, I think, that we'll find of David being a man after God's own heart is that he had a humble heart. In Psalm chapter 62 and verse 9, it says, surely, men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. You know, this idea of low degree, the definition of being humble is having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. And I think this low degree or a vapor shows the humility of David. Jesus also expressed this, as we studied a while back when we were talking about the Beatitudes, but over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, it's the same word and same meaning that is noted there where Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is the same thought of being humble, a vapor, a low esteem of oneself. The second point we find in Psalms chapter 18 and verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. The second point in David's heart is that it was a reverent heart. He had a feeling, and he showed deep and solemn request here, respect for God. And I think that is evident in his life. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. I think that defines what David's heart was there in Psalms 18. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, Jesus was recorded there by the Hebrew writer. In the end of that verse, it says Jesus was heard because of his reverence. In Ephesians 5 and verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That needs to be our heart, and that was the heart of David. He was submitting in reverence to God. The third point in David's heart is that he had a respectful heart. Psalms 31 and verse 9 says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. Being respectful is a feeling of showing difference or deference and respect. That respect is in an honor. It is a deep feeling of admiration. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus reiterates this here in Matthew. It is the summation. This respect, this respectful heart is the summation of everything within the law and the prophets. The fourth characteristic of David is that he had a trusting heart. In Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1, it reads, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. of whom shall I be afraid? You know, this trusting is defined as showing or feeling to have a belief in a person's honesty or sincerity and not being suspicious. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If we're trusting in God, who can be against us?" The fifth characteristic of David is that he had a loving heart. And we've talked a lot about love over the last year and the degrees of love. But in Psalm 18 and 1, it says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." This feeling or showing love is of great care. It's an intense feeling of deep affections. John 3:16, we're all very familiar with that verse, "For God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This love that God had is the same love that David had for God. He understood the love of God. The sixth characteristic of David is that he had a devoted heart. In Psalms chapter 4 and verse 7, it reads, "You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that your grain and wine increased." Being devoted is defined as being very loving or loyal, to give all or a large part of one's time and resources to that means. That is being devoted. We know that when David was preparing to build the temple, he prepared for Solomon. He was devoted to that cause that God gave him. He wouldn't let him build it, but David did everything he could to get it ready for Solomon to build. And he devoted all his time and resources to that end. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus states that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. We see David's heart was a devoted heart. We also see that his heart was in recognition. In Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works." Recognition is identification of someone or something or a person from previous encounters or knowledge. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Jesus again states, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." Jesus also had this recognition of God. He had this recognition of humility in giving, that we would not be seen of others. We'd not be known. We don't want to be like the Pharisees and the scribes who wanted to be seen of men. Colossians 3 and verse 23, I think, sums that up. In recognition, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." The eighth characteristic of David's heart is that he had a faithful heart. Psalms 23 and verse 6 reads, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Faithful is defined as an adjective, being loyal and steadfast, true to the facts of the original. I think that's a good definition for us of what being faithful is being true to the facts of the original. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who was promised is faithful." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken us except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." David had a faithful heart. David also had an obedient heart. If you're keeping score, that's number 9, so we're getting to the end of it. Psalms 119:34 reads, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." That is just a great definition of obedience in itself. If you give me understanding, I will keep your law. Complying with or willing to comply with orders is the definition of obedient. Turn with me, if you will, over to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, in the Hebrew, this section is considered to be what they call the Shema, or to hear. And I'll read that. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on the sign on your hand, and these shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Being obedient to these commands is loving God. In Matthew chapter 22, specifically in verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." In verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Being able to combine your mind and your heart to be obedience is what an obedient heart is. And the final characteristic of David we've talked about a little bit in Psalms 25 and verse 11. "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." David had a repentant heart. The definition of repentant is an expression or feeling of sincere regret and remorse, or remorseful. Some synonyms for it would be apologetic, contrite, regretful, remorseful, penitent, and atoning. A Bible definition we've always used, you have to tie the term to turn. To turn or return. There are two requisites to this. You turn from evil and you turn to God. You have to turn. That's what to be repentant is about. The New Testament talks a lot about repentance. It began with John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." In the Beatitudes, it was talked about in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 8, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Jesus and the apostles, all through the Gospels, started many conversations beginning with the word repent. In Matthew 4 and verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Just extending on from Jesus began where John left off with repentance. In Luke 17 and verse 3, it reads, "So watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them." Repentance is also, if we sin, we have to point out sin to our brothers and our sisters. And they can be forgiven if they repent. Each one of us can be forgiven if we repent. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, talks about repentance. And we'll just read verse 47. "And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." This was foretold, this idea of repentance, throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament. And as we come into the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what was preached. Acts 2 and 38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." And in Acts 3 and verse 18, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." This forgiveness of sins begins with repentance. We have to be repentant of our sins. So as we summarize the 10 characteristics of David, I hope you were able to write those down. He had a humble heart. He had a reverent heart. He had a respectful heart. He had a trusting heart. He had a loving heart. He had a devoted heart. He had a heart of recognition. He had a faithful heart. He had an obedient heart. And he had a repentant heart. This morning, as we close, we reflect back to Psalms 25. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. This morning, if any of these characteristics of David's heart are not applied in your life, now would be a good time to correct that. As we have looked at these points, many of these points also characterized God's plan of salvation. We had to hear it. We had to believe it. You had to repent of your sins. You had to confess the faith. And you had to be baptized. Those things are God's plan of salvation, not ours. And in Revelation, we also talked about being faithful. To live faithful until death. If we can help you in any way this morning, now is the time as we stand and as we sing.